We love. We're people that love. Think about it. What is something that you love more than anything? You know the right response in here is going to be what? God. Somebody said it. Somebody got it. But we'll get to that. But just think. Now, if you're a parent, you remember when you had your child, if you were a parent, when those babies were born, when you looked at them and just saw how much you loved them, how precious they were. You know, I can remember when we had Clay and Lacey, wasn't nothing to it, was it, men? Nothing to having a baby, is it? Clay came on his due date, and I remember seeing that little fella, and the first thing he did when he was born, which I will not say, but I like to miss Lacey's. Lacey's, I had to take Clay to my cousin's house and then turn around and rush back to the hospital. And I mean, like within 1 minute of stepping into the delivery room, Lacey was born. She says, I always get the stories wrong. Well, we'll just leave it like that. Oh, well, I was home in time from I was fishing that day. Another love of my life. But I got home in time your water hadn't broke then yet, had it? It had. Okay. Within 2 or 3 weeks, men, don't go fishing or hunting. Don't go try to shoot a fish or catch a deer, okay? But I just remembered the love that I felt that for my children. And I saw the love that Lynette had being the mom. Oh, now, you know, some of you aren't parents. So think about when you experienced the love between your mom and dad. Just such a great and overwhelming feeling to know what that love is like. You know, in your life, somebody may be a world-renowned painter in here, and the world just don't know it yet. But you create great pieces of art. There are people in this world, these great artists, don't you think they look at that and they feel so good? They love their work. They love what they do, and they create these great pieces that can be shared for eternity, for a long, long time with the world. These things that draws this love out of us. Our love for one another. The question is more is, what do you love more than anything? Where is your love? This morning I want to take notice of God's love. Pure and simple, the title of the sermon this morning, God Loves You. The most, probably most used scripture verse in the Bible shows just how much God loves you and what was important to you. What verse am I going to share? John 3:16, one verse. And I learned it as a child, so I don't use the King James Version Bible anymore, but the verses that you learned as a child, for most of us, my age anyway, was a King James Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, the greatest single verse, I think, in the Bible. Martin Luther said that it was the gospel in miniature, because it says and declares everything about who God is and how much he loves you and to what extent he went through for you and I. A very concise statement of salvation. What does it mean for you and I this morning? Briefly, I'm just going to break down that verse a little bit and recognize for all of humanity what this meant. For God so loved the world. That's the first phrase. How much? He loved the world so, so much. What are you good at? If your love was for your family, How would you show that to the world? How would you show that to your family? What are you good at in art or in drawing, teaching, selling? What is it that you're really so good at that you know, man, I love this? Some people get up, they love going to their job. It means so much to them. For God so loved the world. What's the world? Is he talking about this round ball of dirt that floats around, hung in the stars? For God so loved the world. Somebody said it. People. Humanity. So God so loved humanity. God loved each of us so much. He was willing, chose to, and went forward into doing something so very different than any of us could ever think about, consider. He said, I'm going to prove to you. I'm telling you, I love you. How much do you love me, God? When he created us in his own image, he loved us from the very beginning. He says, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to save you. I want to have a relationship with you, one that is eternal. So what does he do? He gave his only begotten son. That word begotten means unique. Its own kind. It's from the Greek word monogenesis. Monogenes. It means unique of its kind. Jesus came to this world for us. He said, you know what? I've got a son of mine, and he's my son, and I love him. But I love you, and I want to show you how. He gave us his son to save us. Unique, this Jesus. Only one like him. Born of a virgin, perfect, without blemish, sinless. He gave him for us. I wonder what you would be willing to give up to prove your love to the world. Would you give up your son, your daughter? Jesus said, I love you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, part three, we must believe the story. Jesus came, died, and was resurrected for you and I. For those who trust in Jesus, who trust in the ultimate story of salvation. Simple to believe, difficult to comprehend, isn't it? That a God would sacrifice his own son for you and I, for all of humanity. Why would he do this? To prove his love. You got to believe it, though. That whosoever believeth in him. Opie on the Andy Griffith Show came home one day and Andy asked him, where you been? He says, I've been out in the woods playing. He goes, well, what? Anything happened? He goes, I met Mr. Jingles. Anybody see that? Remember that? Mr. Jingles? Tell me about Mr. Jingles. Well, he walks in the trees. He makes smoke come out of his ears. And he jingles. And he said, no, but you know that's not true. That's just a made-up story of, you know, a little fantasy story you make. No, no, Pa. It's true. I call him Mr. Jingles. He walks into trees and he jingles when he walks. He makes smoke come out of his ears. Opie, quit telling me that. You know that's not true. He didn't believe in Opie's story. He didn't trust what Opie was telling him, did he? Until finally he felt so bad, he sent Opie to his room. He's putting him on restriction. He's doing all these things. He's trying to convince Opie to tell the truth of the story. And he's always believed Opie, but this is just too much to be true. You know it can't be true. There's no one that walks into trees and jingles when they walk and makes smoke come out of their ears, is there? Can you do any of that? No, I can't either. So, but he feels so bad, he goes out to the woods, to the area where he says Mr. Jingles is at, and he starts saying, Mr. Jingles! Mr. Jingles! And he said, he's so upset because his son is... I don't know if he's more upset that his son, he believes his son's telling a story, or that he don't trust his son. And then all of a sudden he hears a voice up in the trees. And he looks up and there's a man up in the trees. And he comes down and he's jingling. And he goes, you're Mr. Jingles. You walk in the trees. You jingle when you walk. Can you make smoke come out of ears? He's got a cigarette and he does that little trick, you know. Well, I can't. I don't smoke, so I can't do it. I don't know. He didn't trust his son. You know, Scripture says that whosoever shall believeth in him. And Andy had to see it to believe it. Thomas had to see Jesus after the resurrection to believe it. He didn't believe it. He was so disappointed in Thomas for not believing. But he said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. So we choose to believe in this story that seems unbelievable. That the God who created everything sent his son to die for us. And all we have to do is believe in him, call on his name, we're saved out of our sin. Believe it. Believe it. Blessed are you who believes without seeing. And I dare to challenge us that we see it anyway. We just don't see Jesus physically, but we know he's there. We feel it when he changes our hearts. When our hearts look at people differently. We choose to believe. What happens then? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel in one verse. Everlasting life. That is the promise. We've been going over our theme this year is the promise. This is the promise. Overcoming the world through Jesus, his sacrifice and his resurrection. All we have to do is believe, and we have everlasting life. Eternal life. It's what we trust in. It's eternal. It's the promise. The promise. Here's the promise. God loves you. God loves me. And I thank God that he chose to. Accept the promise. Shortest, most concise, clear stated verse of the Bible. Just repeat it over and over again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's that simple. Today, what would be your response? Would you believe that God gave his only Son to die for you? Would you believe that we have eternal and everlasting life with the Creator of all things? Because we believe? Would you believe God loves you? Will you receive everlasting life? This morning, we have that opportunity to choose to believe this great God loves us. If you've never received that, today is a day for you to embrace that and to receive that and to experience what it means to have grace and forgiveness, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ alone, to have an everlasting life. Does it mean we will not be subjected to difficulties in life? No. But it means God is going to be there with us through those difficulties in life. Does it mean when you're faced with hardships and difficulties in life that God doesn't love you? No. Even more so, the reason we need God, because we live in this world. We're seeing as corrupted this world, and we're going to suffer. We're going to hurt. We're going to be in pain. We're going to be let down by our families. But God loved you so that he could save you from this world for eternity. We spend 75, 50, 20, 100 years in this world. Eternity is a long time. A long time. A place of rejoicing and praising this God who saved us. Just remember this morning. God loves you. I love you too. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this one verse that gives all of humanity hope. Gives all of this world a promise to hold on to. A promise that is true. God, I pray this morning that every person in this room receives this promise, accepts this promise, accepts Jesus' salvation for you. Jesus took away our sin when he hung on that cross. And God, I thank you for that. And I pray that everyone in this room believes that. God, I pray that you'll prick the heart of someone in here that has never accepted that, that they will choose to believe and experience everlasting life. God, I pray that if you'll speak to us today, whatever we're at in our life, that we'll respond to you. If we walked away from you, draw us close. If we need salvation, we ask you give it. If we're strong in our faith, make us stronger. Let us experience salvation to its very fullest. In Jesus' name, amen.